Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 2, Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Steve Tasker later this hour. Bills Patriots in New England. I wonder if Prince William and Princess Kate are going to show up. I wonder if Belichick would be welcoming. If William walked onto the sideline, do you think Belichick would even acknowledge his existence?
I think he would say, hey, what's going on?
Did they move the needle, though?
Not in the States, really. I don't know. I mean, what do I know? But it doesn't seem – like, you sent that great video, Jaylen Brown, after the game last night.
Like, I thought it was – I mean, disrespectfully, I thought it was funny.
Hilarious. You know
what I mean? Because he's just like, yeah, couldn't care less. Like,
could not care less.
It's another game for me.
William and Kate were there. I think we have it. Do you guys want to play it?
Because, please play it, because I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but I just...
William and Kate are over. They were in Boston. I don't know where they're going beyond that. I think it'd be hilarious if they were with Belichick tonight. I think it would be absolutely hysterical. Because before the game, I'll bet you he would not even look at them. He'd walk right past them. Because he'll be so in the game. Yeah. He'll have the hoodie on. He's going to look like a mess.
Yeah.
It's a night game. It'll be cold. He doesn't want anything to do with royalty.
Yeah.
And anyway, they were courtside in Boston last night, and the Celtics won big, and Jaylen Brown was asked about it, and here was the back and forth last night.
I know you guys have played in front of a lot of celebrities, but what was it like to compete in front of royalty tonight? The Prince and Princess of Wales were in the building.
It was just a regular game to me.
He was probably like, who the hell is he talking about? Like,
I wonder if he honestly didn't know that they were even there.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Would the players be briefed on that? Like, it's a pretty big event that they're there.
But is it a big event in Boston? You know, like, I feel like they're a couple, especially, they stay out of the limelight. They just kind of go about their other, you know, their thing. The other couple, Meghan Markle,
And Harry, yeah.
Harry
was
there.
They make
the headlines.
Taking free throws before the game and right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, like they're a lot more front and center. There's a lot of controversy around them. Those two, this is my ignorance, and I apologize for it, but I couldn't tell you, like, they could walk by me on the street. I'd be like, yeah, I think that looks like them.
Yeah, I mean, I could pick them out of a crowd for sure, but... I hear what you're saying. It seems, I mean, it's big over there. It's not, in the States, it's even less so. Yeah. Like, technically,
as far as the question, it's almost like he ignored the question completely, where it's like, this is not pertaining to me, so I'm not even focusing on this question.
Right.
He said, and he gave like a standard sports answer. That was a regular game for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, though.
Which you could interpret any which way. He didn't know they were there. He didn't care they were there. Or he was just...
All of the above.
I have no take on it at all. Whatever. Basically, I think what Jaylen Brown was saying is there are at least 1,000 people he'd be more impressed by.
Exactly.
If they were watching his game last night, courtside.
100%.
Minimum 1,000 people that he could come up with off the top of his head that would garner more of a response. Yeah. Like Drake.
Later in the show, Noodles, I want to ask you, we'll get to Coco, but if you ever during a game like just sat and looked up in the crowd and spotted a celeb.
Yes, several times.
You would have had the best seat for that, though. You're backing up. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
We were in L.A. one time, and this actress, I think her name was Rachel Hunter. She was like Well, I mean, she was sitting over like two seats in. And, like, every guy who came in, like, I was sitting right there, and every guy was like, take a look at that. You know, like, it was just kind of, I mean, she's very attractive. I think she was
Rachel Hunter, she was married to Rod Stewart.
Supermodel. I think she dated a player. I'm not sure, but anyways. And Drew Barrymore also was at the game one time, and Steve Montador, God bless his soul, and who's passed away, He went over and tapped on the glass, and she was, like, looking at him. Like, he tapped on the glass and gave her a wave. I'm like, why don't you worry about playing defense?
Got to say hi to Drew Barrymore. That's a
big
one.
It was hilarious. I was making fun of him. It was so funny. I mean,
that's so good.
We were just fanboys there sitting there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. L.A. would have a lot. New York would have a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Bills are in New England playing the Patriots tonight. We'll see if the prince and princess show up and Bill Belichick is welcoming tonight. You hear him every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on TSN 1050. First up, here's our good buddy Carlo Colaiacovo joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How do you think Belichick would handle a meet and greet with William and Kate before the game tonight?
You guys have me cracking up after listening to that last conversation. I mean, he'd probably answer it the same monotone voice that he does his press conferences with, right? I mean, very boring, very stale. Probably wouldn't care one bit. He's there to coach football.
Yeah.
It's just Bill Belichick. But
he really would.
Funny story about celebrities in the stands, if you don't mind.
Yeah, what do you got?
Playing in Chicago with St. Louis, the Blues and Blackhawks are big rivals, and in between the benches there was Vince Vaughn one game.
Oh, he's big guy, too.
Oh,
6'5" or something.
Big,
yeah.
Big guy. And funniest thing ever, Ken Hitchcock was our coach, and we got scored on, and I don't remember who was on the ice. It wasn't me, and the guys are coming back to the bench, and Hitch is just reaming the two defensemen out, and he's like, come on, guys, what are you doing out there? You guys are blowing it for us. You got to play defense. And Vince Vaughn is staring at our bench, just tearing up a storm, laughing and giving the middle finger to us on the bench. And if we're like, there's a couple of us trying to keep a straight face, and there's a couple of us that are just like you know, the guys that sit in between in the middle of the benches, the fourth line guys and the
right.
Fifth and sixth defensemen. We're sort of nudging each other and we're like, can you believe this? Vaughn's giving Hitch the finger.
I only saw two guys. In Tampa, I skated out, and I'm a golf nut, and I saw Lee Jansen sitting right on the first row, and I smashed my stick on the glass. I'm like, Janner! And everybody was like, who's that guy? I'm like, that's Lee Jansen, man. And didn't register with anybody. They're like, you need to really...
Lee Jansen. He won a U.S. Open, didn't he?
He did.
Nobody would recognize him.
And the second one was
nobody.
I skated out in L.A. and I zipped around twice and I saw Patty Sajak right on the glass
I
smashed my stick on the glass.
Love him.
I said, Patty! And guys are just like, come on, you got to act like you've been there before. I'm like, it's Pat Sajak, man.
Sajak.
I'm like, is Pat Sajak's like a... Is he C-list? What is he in L.A.?
That's a great question, man. He's not high, man. He's not anywhere close to the A-list.
Dude, in L.A.? No way.
Not even close.
Listen,
LA.
I think he's a solid B, but has been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's,
if you
haven't, follow him on Twitter. He is hilarious. Like, he is a really, like, sharp, like, funny.
I think we give Patty Sage a strong B minus.
I think somewhere between C plus and a B.
You think he's a C list celebrity? Like that
Noodles,
guy was.
He hosts a game show for half an hour at 6:30.
I know, but he's done it for 100 years. Him and Bob Barker. I'm telling you, Bob Barker. That guy. I mean, he was in Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore. Yeah, Bill Barker. Yeah, Bob Barker was. I mean, Alex Trebek. Like, I'm not disputing their Hollywood status. I'm just saying you can't compare it to, it's nowhere close to like DiCaprio or any of the big guys.
But those are A-list celebrities.
I would say B would be like the star of like shows, you know, like who's the host of Survivor? That guy would be like a B-list now. Sajak is
Ryan Seacrest. Do you think
the headband that does Survivor that
no
I have
way.
To look at my wife's iPad all the
that
time?
That show's way bigger than the Wheel of Fortune. It's
Pat Sajak, I'm telling you right now,
you're
we need
a pod.
He is one of the most famous celebrities because of the longevity. Everyone knows Wheel of him and Vanna White are probably one of the most successful on air teams, you would call it.
I'm with
because
you,
everyone knows Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, they know it. They know
Preach.
Wheel of Fortune.
But I'm a wheel watcher.
Everyone knows Survivor. Survivor's way more popular in terms of like total audience.
I don't know if I've ever watched a full. I've never watched, other than season one, I don't know if I've ever watched a full episode of Survivor.
But yeah. It's not close. The audience is not close. I mean, Survivor's still like the biggest show on TV or close to it.
Yeah, I guess it's still going. But I think Wheel
Sajak's
of Fortune.
Just, you know, sitting there doing the same shtick for 30 years.
Isn't Sajak a Capitals fan? Wasn't he part of the Capitals run to the Stanley Cup?
He might have
got season tickets.
I think you're right. He might be a DC guy that lives in LA and jumped on both bandwagons.
Yeah, I think he did. He did like the, you know, like how each team has their own like intro. Like Vegas has got the crank and what are some other teams that got
Carolina's got the engine.
They got the engine. I think Zajac was on the mic at one of the old Washington Capitals playoff
games.
I'm
telling you, we got. I know he's an older guy. He might be 75 type of. We got to see if we can get him on the show.
I'm with you on that. I would say Vanna White's more popular or more well known, like a well known name than Pat Sajak. It's close.
Know.
But Vanna White, like Vanna White in the 80s was absolutely the go-to. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was outrageous. And what a career the two of them have had.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll try to put that into perspective by 7 p.m. Maybe, Carlo, you and AK can figure it out tomorrow where Pat Sajak ranks in Hollywood. But Mitch Marner, in terms of where he ranks in the record books, he's put himself up there with Sittler and Eddie O last night, snuck in an empty netter late. I felt great for him. I felt great for the fans. I said this earlier, Carlo. It was a lot like Matthews scoring 50 last year. And Matthews' 50th was an empty netter against Winnipeg. And I'm sure people in the building last night were on the edge of their seat, knowing that history was on the line. And just an incredible run this guy's on right now.
It really is. I mean, when you think about it, he's played 25 games this season. He has 29 points. And only one game this season, he hasn't registered a point. Like, that's pretty amazing in today's game, and especially doing it in 18 games in a row. I know we had O on my show earlier on this week, and I don't think he could remember how many games he went in his career with recording a point. I know for me, I remember because I didn't score many points, but I had a 7-game point streak in my career, and it felt like, you know, on those nights, everything was just going to happen the way that it did. But with nowadays, you know, with parity in the league and the travel schedules and stuff like that, to be able to perform the way he's performing on a nightly basis, it's truly special. And, you know, watching the game last night, as boring as it was, I'm glad that, you know, it finished as exciting as it did, because that's what people were tuning in for, right? You know, to watch him continue the streak. And, I mean, you guys would probably feel the same way. They've had an amazing month in November again. And kudos to them, because, you know, we all felt different the way they started the season. But this team is, regardless of what type of regular season they have, they're going to be judged in the playoffs. And I think the fact that they're giving us something exciting to follow, like last year, same thing. You know, the season didn't really have, you know, much of a storyline except for Auston Matthews, you know, the Hart Trophy, the Rocket Richard Trophy, two guys maybe getting 100 points. So they created their own storylines. And I think what Mitch Marner is doing right now, considering, you know, there really isn't much to be celebrated through the season, it's absolutely so much fun to follow, you know, outside from playing the game.
I agree. I think, you know, Coco, you make a good point, because, you know, Hayes, I think you said it yesterday or the day before, like, what you call it, meaningful hockey. I mean, every night it's meaningful as far as standings, all of that stuff. But when you're tuning in November and it's entertaining, like, if you're not just a traditional fan, you've got skin in the game and going, hey, this is, you know, this guy's got a streak going, or this team's got they're playing well. Like, you know, I still think it's a crazy season. I think there's so much, like, so many weird things that are happening. Mm-hmm. But it's this Leaf team at the start of the season. There was a lot of, I don't know what the word, but you guys can fill in the blank.
Doubt.
Like disappointment, doubt, you know, apathy, all of these things where the fans were like kind of pissed. And now that's kind of changed. Now, we'll see. It's long season. Yes, they're going to be judged on their body of work in the postseason. But that doesn't mean you don't sit there not interested and invested.
That's where I
like, wake me up in April. You know, you can't
exactly.
do that.
No, and I'm using my own barometer here, where, like, last night is an example. Like, it's midweek against San Jose. I've been struggling this week. I mean, that's a game where you might be like, eh, I'll tape it or I'll check in. I was genuinely jacked to watch the game, and a lot of it was because of Marner, but also Samsonov coming back and the way the goaltenders have played. Like, that was the story of the offseason, was what they did net, and will these goalies hold up? Well, as of now, they are more than just doing that. When they're healthy, they both had their stints not playing due to health, but when they've been available, Samsonov's been outstanding, Murray's been outstanding, and Marner going for 18, like, it is the same vibe as, like, last year, Matthews shooting for 50 and then 55 and 60. And, you know, we'll see what happens here with Mitch and how long it can continue. But that's the kind of stuff that you can't predict. But when it happens, and if your own barometer is saying, man, I'm looking forward to the game tonight, that's all you can ask for, right? Like, as just a hockey fan getting through a season. That's a long year. And that's what the Leafs have managed to do
here. You don't want to take away from the importance of the season, because I think that's what maybe the team, the way they started, they were bored to start the season. And maybe this month of November and the adversity that they're going through and the fact that Marner's on a streak, like, that celebration in the room afterwards that went viral, like, that basically explains everything you need to know about how this team feels about him and this streak that he's on, right? I mean, it was a massive celebration, and you can't take the regular season for granted. I mean, just look at the standings. You've got two new teams right now. You've got New Jersey, and you've got Detroit, and you've got the Islanders that weren't playoff teams last year, right? Yeah. So if you take the regular season for granted, there's three teams right now that were playoff teams that are not in the playoffs. So, you know, credit to the Maple Leafs, too, for finding a way to bounce back in the month of November again and using this adversity that they're dealing with the injuries and this Mitch Marner streak that is rallying the group right now, because they're making it fun to watch them right now.
Coco, you played defense for a long time in the six-man, whichever guys are going out there on the D-core. It's a tight-knit group. Have you ever experienced the awkwardness of having key guys out and other guys come up, and the six guys that are going out there, the team's having a bunch of success, and once guys get healthy, it gets a little bit weird because you're winning and it's like there's not much wrong here, but things are about to go wrong?
Yeah, like I've experienced it many times throughout my career. And to be honest with you, when you're one of those guys that is filling in, I think it actually becomes an easier job for the coach because you're not really worried about matchups. You're basically saying, okay, this is our group. Let's put some trust in them and let's just see what they can do. And I think that's what you're seeing. Obviously, you know, with the way Giordano has elevated his game, this is a guy throughout his whole career has been used to being and playing in these spots and in these situations. And since coming here, he's had to settle into a lesser role, and now he's getting a chance to show he's still capable of playing that role. Even for young players, you know, you're coming in, and there's really not much expected from you other than just, hey, go out and play the game. Go out and show us you're an NHL player and just keep it simple. And, you know, sometimes that's just the easiest way to play defense is just to keep it simple. And I think Mac Hollowell is the perfect example of that. And, you know, when I look at his game, I didn't really know much of this kid because I haven't seen him play much, but he's impressed me a lot with his skating ability and his puck moving ability and the fact that he just plays a quiet game. Like, he doesn't stand out and try to do too much. He just keeps it simple. And I think a big factor to that is, you know, you're getting good goaltending, so that always helps too. And you've got a depleted defense, knowing that you can trust your goaltender to give you saves, and they're playing with the lead too on most nights, so that helps. And it's almost like, you know, there's more of a looseness around the group with even in practice and stuff, because, you know, again, the expectation isn't there for them, but the pride for the guys to play is to show that they deserve to be there and belong. So I think that's why you're seeing the Maple Leafs on defense at least play as good as they're playing.
Coco, what do you think of Gio's game? I've been raving about it. Just, you know, I mean, they've needed stability back there. They've needed, you know, a voice, a leader, all of that type of stuff. Like, you know, what are you seeing from him?
Well, I mean, basically, as a 39-year-old, he doesn't play his age, and I think that's the most important thing, is he's not a guy you look at and say, oh, he looks like a 39-year-old there. And, you know, again, just from what I said earlier, the fact that he's a guy that, you know, at age, I think, 36, he won the Norris Trophy, right? So not too far, you know, from that age. And if he feels like he's got a lot left in the tank, which he's clearly showing, I mean, you're talking about a team that has to fill the void of Jake Muzzin, right? Because Morgan Riley's coming back. TJ Brody's coming back. I don't believe Jake Muzzin's going to come back this year. I mean, that still remains to be seen. But, you know, the big question is, how are you going to fill this void? Well, everything you're seeing out of Mark Giordano right now, wouldn't that be the best option internally to just let him fill in and take over Jake Muzzin's role in this team? I mean, he's fit in nicely with Justin Hall, who they clearly want to continue to play as much as they're playing. And he's a guy that just knows how to play the game, Noodles. Like, I mean, yeah. Sometimes that's, you know, the older you get, the easier the game gets for you, because you think your way out there. And I think that's what I sort of value out of Gio's game, is that he's always in the right spot. He's always making the right plays. He still likes to mix it up. And he's a guy that's not afraid to stand up for his teammates. So, check all the boxes for him. I've been super impressed with what he's brought since he's come here, and even more impressed with what he's done in the time that the team's needing him the most.
With Carlo Koliakovo, put yourself in the skates of Jack Johnson last night, where McDavid picks up the puck, high circle in his end.
He tried to cross-check him in the head, dude. Did you see that?
Underpants where you want an underpants camp.
That's where you need the camp. Because, yeah. That, I mean, Carla, you were a left-shot, left-playing defenseman. I mean,
yeah.
What are you supposed to do if McDavid's flying through the neutral zone? What can
Honestly,
you possibly do?
I'm so glad that, you know, I'm not in the game playing with a guy that's that fast and can make you look that bad. Because it's tough, man. I mean, what do? Do you slide on the ice and just go, you know, full, you know, NHL 94 and try to block the shot? Or, you know, you just turn around and try to skate with him forward? I mean, there's not really much you can do when you got that guy coming with that much speed. You just got to hope you don't end up on the highlight reel after the game is over, or after, you know, the play that he makes.
Well, he did.
You know, it reminds me, do you guys remember in the outdoor game? It was Colorado versus Vegas, and I think it was in famous vacation spot.
It was in Tahoe. Lake Tahoe,
yes.
Yeah.
And there was an audio clip of Alex Pietrangelo doing the same thing. He was trying to gap up in the neutral zone, and it was Nathan MacKinnon picking up speed. And you hear the mic from Petro. He's like, oh, boy. Like, this is Alex Pietrangelo, like one of the best defensemen in the league, saying, oh, boy. And MacKinnon literally blew by him and buried it. And so you can be the best defenseman in the game. You can be, you know, an average defenseman in the game. You got no shot.
No shot.
When McDavid's coming down on you like that.
I thought it was funny, though, if you watch the replay again. He got his stick up. Like, it was almost like he tried to cross-check him in the head. Like, he was like, the hell with this. Like, I'm going to. And McDavid ducked underneath him and kept going.
Oh, incredible. Well, Johnson was worried that he was going to cut to the middle of the ice, so he starts crossing over into the middle, and then
he was worried about everything.
He was worried about everything. It was a mess. Literally,
well, it's funny you guys bring that up, because I remember when Chris Pronger was on your show, and he was talking about, you know, the guys doing the Michigan goal, and what he would do if he ever saw somebody do that to him. What do you think a guy like Chris Pronger would do if he saw a guy like McDavid winding up to come down on him one-on-one?
Different rules.
Like, his era?
Yeah, I can tell you. What era? Like, in the late 90s when I played with Prongs? Like,
I don't think it mattered what era, because he'd find a way to make sure you never do it again.
Well, it's a tat. Like, all I think about with Chris is it's always a perfectly placed chop on the wrist. You know that gap between the glove and the elbow pad? Guys wear pads now, right? But there's still sometimes you can see skin. I don't know how many times I would see Prongs like hand out a little chop into that wrist area, and a guy's glove would drop off. He'd be shaking his hand and yelling at the ref, and Prongs would say, smarten up. Like you would say to the guy, smarten up. You want to be a hero out here, that's what you're going
to
get.
I used to love the old veteran D-man where they choked up on their stick like a foot and they would stick it in your gut and ride you along the boards. And
the butt
like,
end?
Oh, yeah. It's how is this not interference or holding? And then they would drive you into the boards and slew foot you, and then it's like there's no penalty.
Yeah.
Outrageous behavior back there.
Yep. Yeah, old school. Well, we'll see. Quickly, before we let you go, you think your Bills can win tonight? Can they cover?
I'm nervous, man. I'm nervous about this game tonight. The Bills have looked very shaky as of late. They go into to New England, where I got to say, the Bills the last 2 years with Josh Allen have had some great success in New England against Belichick. I like the adversity they're dealing with right now and they're playing through, but I'm nervous about this game.
Yeah, it'll be a tough one tonight. All right, buddy. We'll hear you break it all down tomorrow starting at 6. Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, boys.
There's Carlo Quagliacovo, first up, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. More on McDavid and Jack Johnson and the Leafs a little bit later this afternoon. Raptors with a tough loss last night there in Brooklyn on Friday. But Steve Tasker's coming up, former Bill. He's an analyst down there in Buffalo. What are we looking at? Bills, Pats in New England tonight. We'll break it down next. All right, Steve Tasker will join us here in a moment. Bills in New England playing the Patriots. And it was announced today, Von Miller's on the IR, so he's out for at least 4 games. And not surprising, he's dealing with, I believe it's a meniscus issue and, you know, a knee issue anyway. But that's a big loss, man. He's played really well for them. Really, really well.
Yeah. And he has been titled the closer, the guy that kind of closed the deal and helped them get the job done. So if he can somehow take it as a positive and be ready just for the playoffs, I mean, that's good for everybody involved. But who knows, with that, like playing that position with that type of injury, that's tough business, man.
Really tough.
Yeah.
Really tough. He's not a young guy, and that's it. Like, if it's, is he going to be at 100%? If he's not, you know, how does that affect how the coverage in terms of how they defend him? Because he's, I mean, he was taking up double teams. And, like, this guy, he's been a machine his whole career. He's a future Hall of Famer. And he really settled in beautifully in Buffalo as, to your point, the kind of closing piece to get them over the top. And he's not available tonight, and he won't be available likely for the rest of the regular season. But if he returns in the playoffs, then we'll see. You know. But that puts it even more on the line to get that top seed if you can, too. Find a way to win out, get that top seed, get home field advantage, because you might need that extra time for Von Miller to return. But to chat about that, among many other things, including teeing up the game tonight, we're joined now by longtime Buffalo Bill and MSG analyst here, Steve Tasker, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Steve?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for taking time. We were just talking about Von Miller. That's a big hit. So he's going on the IR. I'm not sure he plays again during the regular season. How is this going to affect the way the Bills can play?
Well, it's interesting. We don't know what's going to happen long term, obviously. Vaughn had said earlier this week, a reporter, that he was going to try and make it back in the next, after the Patriot game, back for the Jet game. I think that while there may be a chance that he could do that, I think the Bills put the brakes on this and said, hey, listen, let's just wait, make sure, let's give you a month, so that way you're not going to hurry back. When you do come back, if we take you off the IR and put you into your 21-day window, there's every chance you could play the last 2 games of the season, because there's no way that you can come back, that you're not going to be able to come back. If you could play in 2 weeks, we figured we're going to miss you at least for 1, probably for 2. The last 2 weeks you can spend getting ready to play, come back and jump right in as soon as the 4 games are up. That's the best case scenario. Plus, it also puts the brakes on him trying to do something maybe his knee's not really ready for. I don't think this is a really serious knee injury. And I think there's every chance to believe he'll have a chance to get back on the field before the end of the regular season, even if it's week 17, and then, of course, contribute during the playoffs. So it's not, I don't think it's the end of his season by any stretch. And I think it's almost the ultra conservative route the Bills are taking. It's part of their culture that they've cultivated here in Buffalo. They put the players' health and well-being first. They make a big deal about it. They go overboard doing it. And it really puts it the onus on the players to work hard to make sure they can come back strong and healthy when they are able to.
Are the Bills, in your opinion, the clear second best in the AFC behind the Chiefs?
I think they're better than the Chiefs right now. I think they go into Kansas City every year, twice a year for the last couple of years. They've beaten them in the regular season. They, you know, the 13-second game this last January was pretty frustrating for everybody. But Josh Allen's still the only player that's gone into Kansas City and beaten Pat Mahomes twice. This is a Bills team that even the Chiefs don't look past. They don't lose games by more than 3 points at a time, and when they win big. They're a tough team to beat. They're good on both sides of the ball. They've been good enough to win the Super Bowl for 3 years, but I don't think they realized it until after the 13-second game last season when they really feel like an opportunity to win the whole thing got away from them. They're that good. Their coaching staff is good. They're kind of battle-hardened. They're deep. Their roster's been tested with injuries this year. Now they're getting healthier, even Von Miller notwithstanding. They'll be without two important players tonight in Deion Dawkins and Von Miller. Those are two of the four money positions on an NFL team, the quarterback, the pass rusher, the left tackle, and a corner. Trey White will be an interesting story to see if he gets back on the field and takes more snaps tonight. But when you talk about in the big picture, this is exactly the Bills team people thought they were calling the favorite before the season started. And certainly they haven't beaten everybody by 41 or 31 points. But there's not too many people that have beat them that can feel like they played better than the Bills did, even in the victory. So, yeah, this is the team that was the favorite coming in, and they still are, despite the fact that there are some people trying to take the shine off of them. They're a juggernaut, guys. Don't be fooled by an overtime or a late win against Detroit or a tough loss against the Vikings. This team's tough to beat.
With Steve Tasker, I get the impression, like, I guess people that are trying to take the shine off them, as you said, it's most of it is directed at Allen and him throwing balls away. You know, the amount of interceptions he's thrown, the amount he's thrown in the red zone, the amount of games he's kept close, or it's felt that way. He's had an up and down season in terms of like his MVP pursuit, where it seemed like he was a lock to start the year, and now it's no longer the case. I think, you know, Mahomes is the guy at this point. Can you reason with that criticism of Josh Allen and the way he's been playing?
Sure. Pat Mahomes has turned it over more times than Josh Allen in the last three games. I mean, that's the way you live with these guys, man. Okay, you're going to get both edges of the sword, but you're going to get the good a lot more than you get the bad. Josh Allen in a game where people thought, it was just okay. He threw for three touchdowns, no interceptions, and ran for a fourth touchdown against the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, and everybody's like, not so much. You know what? Four touchdowns later, it's a pretty good day. It's been one of those years, and I'll say this too, Josh Allen is the biggest engine of any football team has in the league. Certainly Pat Mahomes is right there, and I would say in a straight-up head-to-head pick this guy or that guy, I think all of us might pick Pat Mahomes. But there's something that Josh gives you that Mahomes doesn't. It's a big-bodied running back, and in short yardage goal line situations, he goes. And if Pat Mahomes, I think if you switch these two guys around, put Pat Mahomes on the Bills and Josh Allen on the Chiefs, I don't know that you'd see that much difference in the way these two teams play, particularly with Travis Kelce over there on Pat Mahomes' side and Stephon Diggs on the side of the Buffalo Bills. These are two teams that are in a collision course, I think, again this year. And certainly, if you look at the big picture, Josh is maybe one or two in every statistical category, particularly in scoring. Tua is having a great year. He'll jump up in a couple of different categories. Lamar Jackson is always there in a couple of different categories. If you're just going strictly quarterback stats, running, passing, quarterback rating. But you look at the top two guys, and it falls to those two guys. It's Pat and Josh. And, you know, Pat has, like I said, turned it over a bunch in the last three games, more than Josh has. But Josh has done it in the red zone over the last month or so. And I think when you look back at, you know, the games and how they've gone, yeah, when the Bills put a two-game losing streak on the board between the Minnesota Vikings and the New York Jets, that takes the shine off the whole team. And I think that, just by proxy, Josh is a victim of that a little bit as well. But let me tell you something. He's still playing at a really high level. He's still going to be there at the end of it. He's going to be in the conversation for it at the end of this game. And tonight is going to be an interesting game with the Patriots because of how important it is to the Bills and how many people across the country are going to be watching.
You just touched on the matchup. What does Belichick do watching film? You just touched on Allen and how dynamic the offense is. Belichick gets in a video room for hours on end. What's he going to try to do to it?
Yeah, I think what happens this week is what happened last year. Last year they go in there, and this is the game in Foxborough. They didn't want Steph Diggs to beat him. And certainly he didn't, but Isaiah McKenzie did. He had 12 targets, 11 receptions, 126 yards, and a touchdown. He came out of nowhere, and Josh Allen kept throwing him the ball. Belichick will take away Steph Diggs tonight, I think. I think it's going to be – now, Diggs will get a couple of catches. But how the Bills handle their inability to get him the ball and who else will step up to carry the offense. Certainly Josh is going to have the ball in his hands every play, and he'll make a handful of plays that may be difference makers. But Belichick will take away your best guy, and there's no doubt this year more than ever, other than Josh Allen, of course, the best guy the Bills have on their offense is Steph Diggs. That's where the Patriot defense will focus. And the Bills are going to have to beat the Patriots a little bit left-handed. That means without Steph Diggs, or at least with other guys. They did it last year and tuned them up pretty good with Isaiah McKenzie. But we'll see if they can do it with somebody else, or maybe it is Isaiah McKenzie tonight. They elevated John Brown to the active roster today. They brought him back. We'll see what the Bills have in store, but I don't think it's not even. But if the Bills are going to beat them, it's going to be somebody other than Steph Diggs is going to step up and make a number of plays for them offensively.
With Steve Tasker, Belichick was the boogeyman in Buffalo for 20 years. What's his reputation like now that Brady's gone? You know, they weren't a playoff team. The Bills have elevated so greatly. How do people in Buffalo still feel about the idea of beating Belichick and the Pats?
They hate Bill Belichick. Oh, my gosh, they hate him. You got people laying awake at night thinking about that guy. I mean, he is the boogeyman. And there's nothing that tickles them more. You still see Bills fans still have that in the loop. People will screen catch it or whatever. 2 years ago when the Bills finally beat the Patriots with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott and Bill Belichick threw the phone on the sidelines. That was absolute heroin for Bills fans. And that kind of stuff is what they really, really look for. They do not like him. They are so much scar tissue from Bill Belichick and the 20 years of Tom Brady. It is no doubt the big game on the schedule. This is the Ohio State for the Michigan Wolverines. This is, this is it. I mean, this is, you name another rivalry that you can think of. This is the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres kind of thing. You know, it's one of those games where the local fans need it and they want it and they get a huge level of angst leading up to it.
Well, I can't wait for it. It's going to be a blast. Enjoy it, Steve. We always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for doing this.
Guys, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
There's Steve Tasker, former Bills player, all pro, host of One Bills Live on MSG, and it's going to be a good game tonight, man. It you can feel it. Like, this is a big one for the Bills, big one for the Pats too, though. Like, they're at 6-5. They got to keep treading upwards, man. There's still a lot of season left. There's a lot of games left to be played, but there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. Mm-hmm.
The reason I asked about the Belichick and the offense, it seems like as good as Josh Allen has been, the connection with Diggs and the passes and all. It's not exactly St. Louis, the greatest show on turf, but it's pretty dynamic offense.
Yep.
Like, he just seems to tighten the screws on that, and you don't see those plays against one of his teams.
That's what he's famous for. I mean, that's what he's known for. He takes away your best option. Like, and that's, I think Tasker's right. Like, it'll be Diggs. He'll double Diggs, and then it'll be what else you got. you know, like where else do you want to put the ball? And, you know, it's going to be cold. It's a night game. That stadium will be rocking because it's a divisional game. It'll be fun. Like, you get Belichick versus the Bills on a Thursday night. This is why you get through, you know, Browns, Jags earlier in the season so that you save these games for Thursday night later in the year, because this is what you're looking for. More on that later in the hour with Al's brother coming up around 6:30. Al's brother will join us. You guys are on the clock making the pick tonight, and I'm thinking this is the week it starts to officially turn.
Unravel? You think it
I'm sensing some unraveling, and I think it begins starting tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. So catch up with Al's brother. Still to come, Pierre LeBrun will join us as well. Raptors with a tough loss last night. Scotty Barnes back in the lineup, back in the starting lineup, but he had an awful night. They all did. They all were terrible, but Scotty really did not bring much to the table. And that was not the response I'm sure Nick Nurse was looking for. More on that still to come as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Pierre LeBrun in about 15 minutes. The Hero World Challenge is underway. Tiger was supposed to be playing today, but he's not. Well, that pretty much takes the air out of that balloon. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? At some point, we'll see Tiger. And I guess they had another PGA players-only meeting to try to figure out how they're going to handle things in the future. I don't know. It all seems kind of ridiculous. Just get out there and play. Let's see where it goes. But, it would have been cool to see Tiger play. I guess we'll see him next week in the Challenge, and then the week after that, Charlie will be out for the PNC.
Dude, I told you, man. That thing went from the Walrus and his nephew and Hale Irwin and his grandson to Tiger Woods and his son in the Golf Channel's A-team having to go down to that championship.
Yeah. They don't want to be there, but they have to because Tiger's there, and the ratings are huge.
Dude, they're like the Golf Channel, like they eat up Tiger Woods, man. After he spoke to the press yesterday, it was full Brandel Chambly breakdown in his car on Skype of the comments, and it's like a Tiger Woods presser is an hour-long show for them, Golf Central.
Oh, it's huge content.
It's crazy.
Massive content.
They break down Charlie's swing. They do the whole nine,
man. It's everything. Yeah, it's everything. But so we will see Tiger play at some point, and at some point we'll see the Canadian team back in the World Cup. That'll be in 2026, and we posted up on Twitter, you know, how would you describe their World Cup in one word? And it's been fairly consistent. Most people like disappointing. You know, we talked about 86 forever, that they didn't score a goal, they didn't get a result. And it's like, well, that was disappointing. How could this be any different? Like, the expectations were higher. If anything, this is more disappointing, right? We got Davies. Jonathan David did not have a good tournament. Everyone was talking about how one of the best scorers in Europe, this is a big platform for him. He did not take advantage. Herdman all of a sudden is coming with a little shine off Herdman, right? Like he was 100% approval going into the tournament. Now there's people that are like, I don't know about, you know, what's up with Herdman tactically with what he had to say about Croatia. That's what happens when you get to the biggest stage. You don't get any results, man. Like, you know, you're there to
that's
win.
That's what kind of surprised me a little bit about the comments. He kind of knew if he's a smart guy, which he seems, he would have probably known the state of his team and the results that were probably lying ahead. That's why the comments surprised me a little bit. He probably knew that those results were coming. Like, he's not stupid. There was an opportunity that they could have shocked the world, but it was a long shot, and he knew it, and he still made the comment. And now, like, just hearing from the soccer experts, some of the tactical stuff, you're right, the shine is definitely off him because he was the golden boy with the white dress shirt, two buttons undone, and the nice hair, and everything he touches is golden and magic, and it's just not that right now.
Well, and let's not forget, like, his team wasn't, you know, that they didn't have 15 all-stars either, like 15 rock stars. They had a couple good players, and they're still coming. Like, they're still up and coming. Like, their expectations, I said it at the start of the show, I didn't, from all the experts that were talking, it sounded like they were shining. They were preparing us for kind of this type of result. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I think so, Nunes. But I don't know if it was to this extreme, right? Like, we had Duffy on last hour, and the panel ranked the 32 teams, and they collectively had Canada 24th. Now, that might have been their bias showing a little bit. but only Canada and Qatar left with three losses. Like, it's one thing if you got one tie where you storm back in the second half and you get blown out the other two games. At least you had that 1 point on the board.
Right.
Like, to leave with zero again, 36 years you wait for zero, even if those were your expectations and they were reasonable, still doesn't mean that you can't look at it for what it was. Yeah. It was maybe it was a reality check, and maybe it was disappointing. Like, it was a week, it was a great start, and I think what Herdman got caught up in was that they played as well as they did against Belgium. So maybe then he was like, actually, we are this good, and we do have these capabilities. Mm-hmm. And then he started messing around with his formation, messing around with his lineup, and Croatia, they had no answer for the midfield, as everyone has seen and everyone's pointed out, and they got dummied. And then beyond that, you're out. Like, once you lose that, you're done. It's too late. And whatever happened today is whatever happened today. You know, I mean, Morocco, credit to them. They had something to play for. And Canada hands them the first goal 4 minutes into the match, the ugliest goal of the tournament. And, you know, Canada gets another goal, and that's something to write home about, I guess. But ultimately, you get skunked. Like, that's, there's not much you can say. You know, yeah, you scored a goal. That's good. 4 years. That's it's a long wait.
It's tough.
Yeah, yep. It's tough. It was a big buildup, and it's already
over.
Duffy
talked about it. How are they going to just grow? What are you going to do? Go to the soccer star farm? And are you going to grow four superstars for the next one? And then, like, it just doesn't happen like that, man.
No, you just got to hope they're there. You got to hope there's an 18, 19, 20-year-old Canadian or multiple guys that are there and growing and something pops and they're available for you. And that's, you know, that will happen. There'll be players that will show up on the radar, clearly, in the next 4 years that we're not talking about right now. But that's also going to happen with every other country. You know, that's the nature of the beast. So we'll see. World Cup continuing the coverage here on TSN, TSN Radio as well. So we'll continue to break it all down as we move forward. Final hour coming up. Pierre LeBrun will join us. Al's brother with his pick tonight for the big game. Bills at Patriots. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.